Hey, welcome to the Christ Fellowship Podcast. This is Derek. We are honored that you're joining us today. We are in the middle of a series entitled Sent. We're talking about how Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, he said, I am sending you just as the Father has sent me. And so today we're digging into maybe an area that God sends us to, and that is darkness. That we are actually sent into darkness, into pain, into suffering, into challenges, into anywhere that's broken. There's actually purpose in that when we see it through God's perspective. So, man, I would love for you to grab your Bible, grab some notes, and let's dig in to see how we can bring light into darkness. And let's just continue that posture, that heart posture. We've been singing this beautiful truth, great are you, Lord. Let's just make that our prayer right now. It's all over the room. Let's just tell the Lord how great he is. Just tell him how faithful he is. That he's worthy. That he's holy. Lord, we thank you for who you are, Lord. Lord, even as we sing, even when we can't see it, even when we can't feel it, we rest in the truth that you are great and greatly to be praised. We thank you for who you are, and we honor your name here today. We honor the Father, we honor the Son, we honor the Holy Spirit. Lead us into truth, Lord. Lead us into deep truth that transforms us from the inside out. That the Son of God would be lifted up, and that all men and women would be drawn to him. Bless you, we bless you, we bless you. Amen, 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 amen. Go ahead and find a seat if you can. And hey, while we're beginning here, can we just thank real quick, just honor the worship team and our choir up here this morning? Yes. And I don't know if you noticed it, and they're probably going to try to get off the stage real fast, but we added a bunch of students to our choir today. And that's amazing, but you know what's even more amazing is prom was last night and they still showed up. I don't know about you, I probably wasn't going to church the night after prom, but amazing that we have some guys and gals all over, I see some faces, that they were at prom last night and yet they still made a priority to be in the faith, in the family of God. Isn't that amazing? And so I just want to encourage you, man, God is doing some really neat things and really powerful things in the next generation. Whether it's our students in middle school and high school that meet on Wednesday nights, they also worship with us here on Sunday mornings, but they meet on Wednesday nights. Amazing things that God is doing, how he's stirring up community, uniting hearts, freeing them from so much. But then also in our young adults, man, we have so much going on. And I just want you to hear this because it's not usually the truth that you're hearing. The future of the church is bright. I'm going to say that so the people in the back can hear me. The future of the church is bright. Anybody else agree with that, right? And so we are so grateful. We're so grateful. And we want to be intentional to come alongside what God is doing in our young people. So, so grateful and so excited about what is in store for them as they, from an early age, get captivated by who God is, who they are, and then begin to see people rightly. It's going to be amazing to see, and so fortunate, so blessed that we have so many young people in our church coming. Man, I want to welcome you. My name is Derek. I see some faces that I know. I also see some faces that I don't know as well, and so I want to welcome you. And if you missed last week, you missed one of, I feel like one of Richie's like most profound messages that he ever preached. I'm so proud of him. His growth over the last 5 years, not just in communicating, but the depth that he goes into the heart of God. I love it. And then he gets up and he shares it. So proud of Richie. But he really taught on something that's foundational as we're in this series that's entitled Sent. He really talked about how if we're going to go into the world, that we've got to see people the way that God sees them. And he challenged us with some pictures of people that maybe you were cheering for. Maybe you're like, ugh. Politically, socially, different religions, and the thought that kept coming through my head is if we see people wrongly, we won't treat them rightly. And so the foundation of being sent, like we're talking about even today, is that we've got to first not agree, but see people as image bearers, and then we can come alongside them and treat them as such. And so if you missed last week, good news is we got YouTube, we got podcast, we got on the app we have. There are so many ways. And so if you drive to work, most of us do somewhere, and you got 15, 20 minutes at a time, 30 minutes, man, I would encourage you this week, if you weren't here, to listen to the message. I think it'll really challenge you and encourage you and give some practicality to what it looks like to see people rightly like God does. And so today we're going to continue this idea of being sent. And for those that are new and those that have been here a long time, I feel like we always have to remind ourselves. Our bent is that we drift away sometimes from truth and drift away from what God's called us to. And so as your pastor, I just want to really just foundationally like make sure we're on the same page here, is as a community that we call Christ Fellowship, as a body of believers, our goal is not Sunday morning. Right? So like the pinnacle of Christ Fellowship is not what happens on an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. Not at all. It's not what God's envisioned for his church. Now, is gathering together, is it important? Somebody say amen to that, right? I mean, Hebrews says, man, do not neglect gathering together. And so we're a people that we don't want to forsake that. We recognize there's importance. And when we gather together, we are to stir one another up for love and good works. We're to encourage one another, to inspire one another, challenge one another, hold each other accountable. But the goal is not to get people on a Sunday morning in a room and say, yay, I feel better about myself. That's not the goal of church. Yes. The goal of this gathering is not even to make you feel good. The goal of this gathering is not to make Christ Fellowship more famous. Somebody say amen to that, please. We don't want that. The goal of this is to equip and empower. It is a means to an end. When you gather together in small group, that's not the goal. When you go to equip class with Kim or somebody else teaching, that's not the goal. That's not the end. The whole means is we're going to gather together in order that we would then what? Go. That we gather and not some holy huddle to give high fives. And no. We gather to build one another up, to lift one another up, to come alongside, to pray for one another in order that we could then what? Scatter. That's the heart of the church. And so as a community, I just want to remind you, like, Sunday mornings are not our Super Bowl. It's not. And forgive us, man, we live in an amazing place, but it's also the Bible Belt, and sometimes we get things a little jacked up sometimes. Like, this is not the pinnacle of our church. This is an essential part of our church, but this is unto Monday morning. This is unto Thursday when you're laying your kids down at night and they tell you something really hard. This is unto having a difficult conversation with your spouse. This is unto seeing somebody on your neighborhood transformed by the love of Jesus. This is not the goal. It's a means to the goal, which is to see our city and our region transformed for the renown of Jesus Christ. Can everybody say amen to that? Amen. And so we as a church, we want to be a people that don't make this the end, but it is an essential part. And so I'm telling you, man, I want you to be here. You know, those watching, man, continue to watch. But if you can get here, like, get in the room. It's so important that we have community, that we have unity. But it's unto being sent, and that's what we've been talking about. We opened the year talking about hearing God, essential to our walk with God. We talked about identity, knowing who he calls us. And then before Easter, we walked through a season of freedom that he wants to set us free from all kinds of things. And then as we celebrated the resurrection, and as we move into this next phase, it's all about sending out. Sending out. This is the goal of Christ for his people. So today I want to talk about being sent. I'm going to open up in the book of Acts. If you have your Bible, I'd love for you to join me. Acts chapter 26. We're going to pick up in the story of Paul. And I know many people know about Paul. He wrote much of the New Testament. Before Paul was Paul, he was Saul, and he was a very zealous Jewish man. Very, very zealous. He loved the law. He loved everything about God. And anybody who opposed Judaism, he was against. He's against, very much against. And so when this Jesus guy shows up and he rouse up the crowds, and then he ascends, he's killed, he's ascended back to heaven, and then his followers, the people of the way, the scriptures call them, as they're following Jesus, he hates them because he sees them as the enemy. And so what does he do? As a zealous man of God, he wants to put them in prison. He wants to kill them. And so he does just that. He is on a mission to rid the region of any Jesus follower, whether that meant imprisonment or killing them. And along the way, he has this encounter with God. I love that. He has an encounter with God that changes his life. Not just changes his life, it changes his name from Saul to Paul. And in chapter 26, we're going to read a little bit about that interaction. So this is Paul telling about his story. He's telling his testimony. That's what he's doing. He said, in this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now stop right there. Jesus has already been killed. He's already been raised from the dead. And he's already ascended to heaven. So in essence, Paul wasn't like literally the person, the man Jesus, he wasn't persecuting him, but he was persecuting his followers. Now, this is really important for us to see that Jesus so relates and so associates with his followers, you and me, that when we go through pain, when we're persecuted, he says, you're persecuting me. What kind of God is that? So he goes to Paul and he says, listen, you are persecuting me. And Paul's got to be thinking, oh, what a second, like I thought I was persecuting them. No, we're the body. He's the head. And so when the body's persecuted, the head is also persecuted. So he says, you're persecuting me. He goes on and says, but rise and stand upon your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am what? What is it? Sending. There's the word today. Sending you. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. That's the theme all day long. Darkness to light. Sending to darkness to light. He's sending them to move from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul has this incredible encounter. He's off to go persecute followers of Jesus. And as he's doing that, Jesus himself shows up in a bunch of light. And he says, why are you persecuting me? And he says, this is what I got for you, Paul. I'm sending you to the Gentiles. I'm sending you to a place that's filled with darkness in order that they would recognize light and they would turn to light. Do you know what that's exactly what God is doing today in your life? He wants to send you into darkness in order that there would be light offered in darkness and that people would turn from the darkness and walk into the light. That's what God desires for you. And so we see this theme that we see with God and Paul, and what we actually see is that God has a long history of sending his followers to be light in the darkness. Think about all the greats that we like to read about, we like to talk about. Moses, Esther, Daniel, Jonah. All of them were sent by God into hard places, into the dark. Now, when we say dark, like we don't literally mean lights out dark. What we're talking about today when I say darkness, it's anywhere where the kingdom of God hasn't been fully established on the earth. So any place that the reality of heaven, God's rule and reign, is not integrated fully on the earth, that would be a component of darkness. Are you guys tracking with me? And so, and to help maybe a little bit more, it's like any place in your life, in your sphere of influence, in your family, in your neighborhood, where there's brokenness, where there's separateness, where there's pain, where there's suffering, where there's injustice, where people are trapped in lies, where people are looking to false gods or idols, to somehow fulfill the void in their life. This is what darkness looks like. And what we see is that we have a God that is so amazing. One of the things that makes him so amazing is he actually sends his kids into the darkness. He's done it throughout the whole Bible. And I'm proposing today that that's what he wants to do for us. That we're sending, being sent into the dark. And the good news is we have a model. His name is Jesus. So if we look at John chapter 1, Richie unpacked this so beautifully last week, and so I just want to revisit it just for a moment. John chapter 1 is a beautiful mirror of Genesis chapter 1, the creation story. So in John chapter 1, we're going to see this whole component of light and dark, light and dark, and it's about Jesus. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the what? Darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, Jesus, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Now, Jesus is our Savior. We love it. He's our Messiah. He is incredible. But one of the things we always remind you here is he's also our model for what humanity was meant to be like with God, walking in relationship with the Father through the power of the Spirit on the earth. And so Jesus is our model. He's the second Adam. And so we look at Jesus' life and we're like, wow, what was Jesus? And what we see in Jesus is that he was the light of the world, and he was sent where? To more light? No. You know where he was sent? To what? Darkness. I don't know about you, but heaven, I'm imagining, pretty full of light. Actually, so much light that don't even need the sun, right? Lots of light in heaven, all lit up, right? He left that, and where did he go? Into brokenness, into false identities, into lies, into systematic injustices, into separateness, into wars, into famine, into disease. This is where our King was sent, from light into darkness. And remind you, he's our model. And after Jesus was raised from the dead, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, John chapter 20, he's raised from the dead. He goes to the disciples. He appears to them. And what's he say? He says, as I was sent from the Father, now I am sending what? You. He says, in the same way I was sent. And so I want to put before you today that Jesus was sent to be light in the darkness, and now Jesus is sending us in the same way he was sent from the Father. That means that you and I are being sent to places where the kingdom of God are not fully established. We're being sent into places that are broken, into places that are hurting, into places that are experiencing pain and suffering, into relationships, into workplaces. I don't know, how many, just a quick survey. How many of your workplaces are fully like heaven? My staff didn't even raise their hand. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Gina. I appreciate that, Gina. Thank you. Just totally joking. I appreciate that. So guess that what that signs you up for? A location where God is sending you to be light in the what? Darkness. This is what we're called to be. And here's what I was thinking about this week is there's a passage that says that we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of what? Like, all right, so here's what we sometimes miss as followers of Jesus. We're like, wow, God, you saved me. I receive your love. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. I'm born again. That's amazing. That means I've been transferred from darkness into what? Light. And here's what we like to do. We like to just hang out the light. We're like, man, I'm so glad God brought me out of darkness. You should be. But here's the thought that kept coming to mind. He brings us out of darkness into light to send us back into the darkness. Not to participate in the darkness, somebody say amen to that. Not to associate, but to offer light. And I don't know about you, that gives me some purpose for the challenges and the brokenness and the difficulty that I see all around me. That it helps us frame up why we're here, what we're doing. I don't think God causes darkness, but I know he wants to see it flee. I know he wants to see darkness dispelled. He wants the light to break in everywhere we go. And so Jesus is our model. And then not only is he our model, but he's our great teacher. That's why we love the scriptures here. Like we want to wring out these scriptures and know the truth. And Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he says some really profound things that, I mean, people are still just scratching the surface on the depth of what he was talking about. But about midway into his sermon on the Mount, he says this in chapter 5, verse 14. He says, "You are the light of the world." He said, "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Here's an identity statement that is true for every follower of Jesus, all right? So we talk about identity a lot here, where we have this specific, unique kingdom identity that God calls us uniquely. But then we also have the collective kind of a family of God identity, these that are true for every follower of Jesus. And one of the identities that we have is that you and I, we're the light of the world. So I just want you to say out loud, just right now, if you're a follower of Jesus, say, "I am the light of the world." Okay? I want you to say it one more time, and I want you to think about that. I want you to even picture what that looks like right now. Just think about that. You're the light of the world. I want you to say it right now. "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." Now, you're not the light, capital L. Like, you're not the Ohio State University. You're a Tennessee. No, just joking. You and I aren't the, but we're one of the lights of the world. This is what Jesus actually calls us. We are the light of the world. And here's what I know about light, and it's so interesting, is that light is most prominent in darkness, right? Light is most prominent in darkness. So you and I, we're the light of the world, but we are the brightest, that we are the most effective when we're in the midst of darkness. So I've got just something to help, I think, us a little bit here today. Kim, could you help me there? And then Dean, is Dean around? Or somebody going to help me here with the, where's Dean at? There's Dave back there, Dean. So I need a volunteer. We're not going to make you talk. You just got to follow simple instructions. Don't all jump at once. It's okay. We need somebody from this side. Somebody from this side. Are you going to do a stand? We got somebody in the back. Yeah, right there in the middle. He's got his hand up. We need one more person from this side. It's like a long altar call. We're going to wait till you come forward. That was a joke. We got some. I'm sorry. We got one right behind you. We already got one there. Awesome. So here's the instruction. First, stand up. Don't do anything right now. Just stand up, okay? So here's the reality. So if you and I, our identity is that we are light in the world, right? We are light in the world, right? So that means when we come together on a Sunday morning or we gather in our small groups on, you know, Tuesday nights, or we come to an equip class on Monday evening, that means every one of us are a light. And so when we come together, guess what it is? It's lit. You're welcome, Jace. It's lit, right? And so when we come together, all that light, it is in that one room. So here's what I want you to do. I want you guys to turn on your light. Go right there. Boom, boom, boom. And you can see there, we got light there, light there, light here. Oh, we got light up there. Wow, you're playing along. I like this. So we got light. Wow, everybody's doing it. That might mess up a thing. But anyhow, keep on going. So we got light. And so here's the reality. In this room right now, we can see the light, right? We can see the lamps that are on. But the impact is there, but it's not fully, like, powerful, right? Like, I could see up here without that lamp, but the lamp is nice. So it's a picture of when we come together with other believers, that each one of our individual light, it's like we magnify one another. That room is lit. And I think in the unseen realm, like, it's almost like a Batman light. I feel like in this room, like, there is so much light going on when we gather together. It's beautiful. It's incredible. And it's so needed, right? We need to come along together. Like I want to help. Like, Jonathan, like, man, you're light. Man, let me encourage you. Let me, like, motivate you. Let me stir you up to trust God today. Man, I know you're struggling today, so let me come alongside of you. Man, that was amazing how you did that thing. I was like, we can worship together when I can't worship like somebody else. So when we come together, this is essential. This is really helpful. But the goal is not to gather in a room with a bunch of light and hang out. It's not what God had in mind. Would you guys turn your lights off for a second here? what he desires is that we want to, yeah, I like that. She's partaking in this message. I like it. What God desires is that you wouldn't just stay in a holy huddle on a Sunday morning. That you wouldn't just gather and break bread and pray and open up the scriptures all over the Tri-Cities in your small groups. What God desires is that we would live into our identity, that we are the light in the world. And so right now, before we all turn these lights on, I want you to think about the darkness that maybe is in your life. I want you to think about like what we talked about. Like, what is the darkness? Well, it could be sin for sure. But also it can be moments of in situations where there's pain, where there's loss, where there's injustice, where there's suffering, where the kingdom of God is not fully established. I want you to think about that for a moment and just open your eyes and like look around the darkness. This is just a good way for us to really sit in this truth that we're not meant to just stay in the light, but we're called to be. And so in that darkness, God says, this is what I want. I want you to be a light in the world, and that world is filled with darkness. And I want you, just like he told Paul, I'm sending you to the Gentiles, and they are so filled with darkness, and I want them to turn to light. And so let's just turn our lights on here a second. Now look at the difference. So before, when we were in a bunch of light, the church gathering on Sunday morning, it's amazing. Let's go. Let's celebrate Jesus. Woo, yeah. But it didn't really make that much of a difference. But when that light is positioned in a place where there's darkness, that light gets really bright. And don't stare too long because you will see dots. It's kind of like the eclipse. No, don't stare too long. But that light now, if you just look around at these three lights here, like it catches your attention. There's no way you could not see them. There's no way that you couldn't be leaning into this. And so what we see is this visual that you and I, man, we need to be around the light. We need to be encouraged and lifted up. But at the end of the day, that's not the goal. The goal is then to go into our places of work, into our schools, into our businesses, into our neighborhoods, into our own families, and to offer light. You're the light of the world. And this week, I want you to think about this picture of light. Now, here's the thing to know about darkness. Darkness is just void of light. That's all it is. Darkness is just an absence of light. And so when light comes into the darkness, even if you're in the bottom of a cave, guess what wins when light is in the room? Light does. No amount of darkness can actually snuff this thing out. Now, we can hide this thing, but it can't go away. No darkness can overcome it. And so here's a good word for all of us. You may be like, Derek, you don't know my work. You don't know how dark it is. Have you met my supervisor called Satan? I mean, Jimmy. Have you guys met him? And I'm like, that's okay, because even Satan / Jimmy can't hide and consume the light that's in you. And so there's no like, well, it's only, no. If the darker, guess what? The more bright a light is. And so this week, as you're leaving this place, like, this is not the goal today. This is not like your faith moment. No, your faith moment is on a Tuesday morning when you see somebody who looks like they're really sad and you go up to them instead of just walking by like every other day. You say, hey, what's going on? Right? And so we want to be a light in the darkness. Thank you, guys. You can turn those out. We can turn the lights back on. So the question I have for myself is, what does that look like? I think we should ask that question, right? It's one thing like, oh, good analogy. You know, I see that. But like the question should be, how do we live into our identity as light of the world? We have this identity. How do we live into it? I think 1 John helps us a little bit understanding that and the application of how do we actually live into being the light of the world. Chapter 2, 1 John, verse 8. It says, at the same time, it's a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. We just pause and chew on that truth for a second. This is why it's so important what Richie talked about last week. It's the foundation, because if you have a wrong view of people and then you try to go be light, you're gonna like, it's not gonna be pretty. He says you can't hate people and be walking in the light. No, we're actually called. He says you can't do that. You're lying to yourself. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the what? There it is, There's the goal, that ding, ding, ding. And there it is. How do we live this? He says, if you abide in the light, you will love your brother because there is no, you cause him no stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness. And I wish we could get this through ourselves. I wish I could put this on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and then every social media and every meta and every mega meta, whatever else is out there, that whoever hates his brother is walking in darkness. And he does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Here's what I believe is true, is that light is expressed as love. The one who is the light, capital L, was also known as the one who is love. And he said, this is the greatest commandment, love God. And he said, the second is like it, love others as you love yourself. Sometimes I think we make this really complicated. Sometimes I think we put a lot of extra. If we're just being honest, sometimes Christianity is a lot of extra. Sometimes we're like, man, I got to go to a class to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to memorize the Bible. I got to do all these things. I got to check these left. And then I'll be ready to be the light. But that's just not true. It's good. It's not even good excuses. It's excuses. But it's an excuse to not be who I already am in Christ. So what's it look like to be the light of the world? It simply looks like to love the person in front of you. And he said, well, what does that look like? I couldn't tell you all the ways that looks like. Sitting in church sometimes, we just want the answers. That's not how God works. He's participating with you. He is leading you by his Holy Spirit. And he is inviting you all the time, whether it's to ask somebody how they're doing at work, or like my buddy who was an engineer for years, he felt like the Lord sometimes was inviting him to go in and make coffee before anybody got there. You're like, does that matter? Maybe it does. But to love the person in front of them, to see them as image bearers, and then to love them and to come alongside them, that's what it looks like to offer light. And he says, when we do that, our good works, which are the ways that we live out love, the ways that we express love are our good works. He says, when we allow these good works to be known where we go, he says, what's going to happen? They're going to all come to Christ Fellowship? No. You know what they're going to do? They're going to glorify the Father. Who cares if they know the church name you're at? They're going to glorify the Father. That's the goal. And he says, if we would do that, man, there would be so much happen. If we would just love the first person, if we would love the person in front of us. And that doesn't mean that we have to go through the entire Bible with them. That doesn't mean we have to go through, you know, the Romans road and all these things with them. It means that we follow the example of Jesus and we actually talk to people. And we see them, and we have a conversation, and we care about them, and we speak truth over them. We don't allow their chaos to become our chaos. We actually offer peace whether they receive it or not. Well, yesterday I was picking up these lanterns at a sporting goods store in town, and I was a little annoyed. There wasn't a lot of help there, so I was asking some questions, had to go to the front. It was cool, whatever, trying to keep my calm. Small town, people know who you are. And so I'm like, okay, just keep your calm. So I get what I needed finally after going to the front a couple times. And I get up to the register. The lady's nice, but there's not like a conversation going on. And she may be here. I don't know. If you're here, this is awesome. That would make a lot more sense based on what happened. But anyhow, she's checking me out. She's running through all my things. She tells me the amount. I put it on my credit card. I pay the credit card. She puts it in a bag, and I'm getting ready. I'm like turning, and as I'm turning, I hear this voice, and she says, "Do you think Northeast State would be a waste of time?" I like had to look around, like, and there was nobody else in the store, so obviously it was me. So I was walking towards the door, and I come back. I said, "What did you say?" She's like, "Well, do you think Northeast State would be a waste of time for me to go to?" And I said, well, interesting enough, I was with a group of young guys last night, and one of the brothers was already at Northeast State, and the other brother was a senior in high school, and he's planning on going. So from their experiences, they were raving about Northeast State, and I think it's a great place to go if you don't know what you're going to do. Why waste all the money in college? Parents said amen to that. If you don't know what you're going to do. So I said, man, I think that would be a great idea. She's like, oh, cool. And then I said, once again, because I'm in this conversation now, I'm like, do I just leave or do I keep this going? And so I said, what are you interested in? And so funny. She said, I would like to be a news anchor. I said, wow, that's amazing. And I said this, and this was a genuine, this wasn't me trying to say something that wasn't true. I said, I think you would be an amazing news anchor. You have such a great presence about you. You have great eye contact. You carry yourself well. I think you would be an amazing TV anchor. And you know what happened to her? That kind of introspection down, her face lit up. And she said, really? I said, really? I think you would be great. And she said, people tell me that all the time, but I don't believe them. And I said, no, I think you would be an amazing TV anchor. And I said, I think Northeast would be a great starting place for you to figure that out. And we said a little bit more, and then I left. Now, did she place her faith in Jesus? Probably not. But did she encounter light? Yeah. See, I'm telling you guys, we want to make this so deep. And it's about how you see the person in front of you, making time, have a conversation, speak truth, offer hope, and let the Lord do what he needs to do. I'm telling you, it's not rocket science. He is sending all of us into places that need hope, that need peace, that need life. He's not sending you to just sit in a church for 7 days a week. Somebody say amen to that. Yes, we don't want that. That's not the goal, right? It's to be sent just as Jesus was, into the darkness to offer hope, to offer life, to offer peace. And so I want to close out today by just praying over those areas today. And so let's take a moment. As we had that moment when the lights were out and we were thinking about areas of our life where there's darkness, I just want you to think about, once again, and where is there brokenness in your sphere of influence? Where is there suffering or pain or injustice? Where are there people or groups of people, individuals or groups of people that are entrusting themselves to false idols that are going to leave them empty? And today I just want you to hear, I feel like the Lord is saying, you're there for a reason. It's not an accident. Don't be afraid of the dark. So just as a community, can we just take a moment as we think about these areas and can we just come into agreement with God that he wants light to shine into all these places, into our schools, into our workplaces, into our own homes, into our neighborhoods? Can we just take a moment and come into agreement with the one who is truth, that he longs for that darkness to be dispelled by light? Lord, our prayers, even this, what Jason was singing earlier, light it up, light it up, light it up, Lord. And Lord, we want to partner with you. And so just right now, why don't you ask for just divine insight and wisdom of what it would look like for you to let the light of God shine through you to the places you're going. And the question we could ask is, Lord, just right now, how do I just love the people that you're sending me to? How do I love them? How do I express your love? Because when I express your love, the light shines in, the darkness cannot overcome it. How do I do that? That's what we want to ask the Lord all the time. So whether you're heading to work, or you're headed to a relationship, meeting, or you're headed to grab dinner, we want to be a people that are aware that there are opportunities all around us to come alongside what God is doing, to offer light, to be a person of hope, a person of peace, a person of love. And so, Lord, I thank you for our community that's hungry for you, that's hungry to see not just this community, our little CF, little dot on the map transform, but we want to see your kingdom come in the Tri-Cities and beyond. We want to see the light of heaven shine in through your people where people would see our good works, would see our light, and they would give glory to the Father. What a beautiful picture, Lord. That's what we want. We come into agreement with you and your word, and we say, let it be so, for the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 We're going to have our ministry team up here as we close out the day. Man, we prayed for a lot of people the first service around areas in their life where they feel they're being sent, but they're not sure exactly what to do. And so if you're like, man, I recognize some dark pockets of things in my life and my sphere of influence, but I would really love somebody to pray with me, man, we would love to partner together and allow the Lord to minister to you. If you need any other prayer, you know, whether it's illness, whether it's financial, relational, man, we would love to pray with you. We value our time partnering together in prayer, and we believe God still does some amazing things through prayer when people pray together. And so we bless you guys. We honor you. Remember, you are the light of the world. Let's let it shine this week. Let's love people well. God bless you guys.